The following program is produced by the Tech Talk Radio Network.
Computers is ruining this country. Let me tell you something. I bought a computer. You know what? I might as well have bought a $2,200 deck of cards. All right? I kid. All I do is play solitaire on that computer.
Hey, this is Larry the Cable Guy, and you're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
This is Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
And I am Justin Lemmy.
We are the show that talks about computers,
technology,
and the internet, and we are back. Well, okay, you're back. I was here the
whole
back. Time.
You've always been here.
I've been here. And, you know, we had a couple of great shows while you were gone.
Mm-hmm.
We had a couple that weren't.
Sure, of course. I would say any show that I'm not a part of is probably not a good show.
You know, I'll give that to you.
Okay.
I'll give that to you. We did have a look back, which actually, if you get a chance to go back in the archive, because you were in Japan, so you couldn't listen to the show.
I could if I get on the internet. You know, I could do that.
Well, what were you telling me? Here I am trying to be nice to him, and he's, you know, he's in Japan, and I'm texting him, and I sense he wanted to go. And he says, I gotta leave. Besides, this is costing me 10 cents a text. Yeah. Are you kidding me? 10 cents a text?
Actually, it didn't cost me anything.
But you just said that to get off the phone.
Yeah. No. At the time when you texted me, I was thinking that I was roaming, but then I realized, wait, I'm in complete airplane mode.
Yeah.
Mobile data's turned off.
Right.
But yet, Wi-Fi was turned on. That's all it was. And yet, I'm still getting text messages. So I'm like, oh, well, I guess text works.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was like, Andy doesn't need to know that.
Yeah, thanks. It was a good way to get rid of me, buddy. I appreciate that. And it's funny because, you know what? That's not unbelievable. You go to a foreign country, you've got your smartphone.
Yeah.
Is it going to work in that foreign country?
Yeah, usually not.
It depends on the carrier, right?
Depends on the carrier. I know Verizon, obviously. I don't know if they're CDMA or GSM. I can't remember which one they are. But yeah, it doesn't work. Now, here's the thing, though. I didn't realize this, but when we arrived, I didn't notice this, but there was, when I was leaving, I noticed there was a kiosk in Narita Airport that you could rent mobile data, like little hotspots.
Oh, wow.
For
cool.
your trip, you know, right. and I didn't really look into, you know, how much it was costing or whatever, but they actually had them there for rent. So,
yeah, I was pretty impressed. You did some video from the airport and even the subway station, and it just looked so clean. I mean, I remember going to England and going on the subway stations there, and it was like, you know.
The subway itself and the station was clean. Not the video was clean.
No, not the video. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But the station looked awesome, and it seemed like there was a lot of tech there.
There is. I mean, Japan is extremely heavily reliant on public transportation. Almost everybody takes public transportation there. Not a lot of, I mean, sure, there are cars and bikes and everything like that, but most people take public transportation. So they have to really keep up the station. They have to make sure it's clean, that it's accessible, that people want to be there. It's great. You know, we were in Tokyo Station and I did a little live video just for a moment, just to see if I could, because I was on their public Wi-Fi there. And it was interesting because people were mentioning to me like, oh my God, that looks so busy. But that was actually on a weekend when it was off peak hours and it was still busy. When it's like, if you go there a Monday through Friday during rush hour times, Tokyo Station is just insane. I mean, you got about a million people that go through there about a million people.
When you say, I mean, I think other countries and cities look at the public transportation system of Japan and decide and say we need something like that. I mean, the bullet train, I'm thinking that concept came from Japan, not Germany.
I believe so.
Yeah.
I think it came from Japan. I mean, they have multiple Shinkansens. Shinkansen is the word for bullet train. It doesn't actually translate to bullet train. It translates to something else. I can't remember exactly. But they call it the Shinkansen. It definitely, you know, it's an awesome thing. You can get almost anywhere in the country within a couple hours. I know that they have a Shinkansen from Tokyo Station to Narita Airport, which Narita Airport is definitely outside of Tokyo Metro. When I visited back in 2011, It took us about an hour and a half by train, just regular train, to get from Narita to Tokyo Station.
Right.
The Shinkansen now from Tokyo Station to Narita takes about 30 minutes.
Oh, wow.
And you're there. I mean, you're traveling at around 100, 150 miles an hour.
Yeah, that was a nice little thing there. Justin posted a video. And you know, I see it on my Instagram feed. I just look at it and I go, wow, that's cool. I bet he's going fast. So rather than, you know, open up the video, I see he's on a train. I send him a note. Hey, how fast is that train going? Not realizing he's narrating it while you're posting this thing of how fast it's going. So I pretty much look like an idiot.
Yeah. I did post a thing on my Instagram there. You can follow me on Instagram. It's just at JD Lemmy on Instagram. We were traveling through the countryside and I was looking out at Mount Fuji. Mount Fuji obviously being the big famous mountain volcano that's there in Japan. And we were going about 200 to 220 miles an hour. And you can't even feel it really because the train, it's a maglev, I think. So it's actually floating above the track. So as it reaches a certain speed, it actually starts to float above the track.
That's
amazing.
So
it's extremely smooth. So you really don't feel like you're going that fast, but you are. You're flying.
Pretty cool.
You're going almost.
Do you feel it? I mean, I guess it would be like in an airplane.
It feels like being in an airplane. Yeah. I mean, you get the sensation that you're moving, but it's not like you're like pinned against your seat like, oh, my God. You know, it's not like that. Overall, I mean, I had a blast. The last time I was there was in 2011, and we talked about this before, but the last time I was there, that was when I was there during the big earthquake, the 9.0 earthquake that, you know, that affected Fukushima and other places. But this time, you know, I got to say, a little bit nervous, you know, going back.
Were you thinking about that?
All the time.
What if they have the big quake?
All the time. I was thinking, oh, God, I'm coming back. Now what's going to happen? You know, we're going to have another earthquake.
Yeah.
Thank God nothing happened. I think we even had like two different 3.5 and 4.0 earthquakes. I didn't even feel them.
It's like being in Cali. It's kind of normal.
You're just like, oh, whatever.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. The thing was, we just did so much in such a little amount of time. I was there for 2 weeks with the wife and kid and her family. And it was a lot of fun, but it was just constantly, you know, wake up and go. And then we come back and go to sleep.
That's the thing when you go on a vacation, you end up coming back more tired.
Yeah. So I came back a week early from Mesa because I had to get back to work.
Right.
But yeah, it was good. And then the plane, we took the Dreamliner.
That's the new one, right?
That's the new one.
Isn't it like replacing the 747? So.
I think so, yeah. So this is the United flight from, it's a direct flight from Denver to Tokyo. It's a 787-800, I want to believe, I think. But what's really cool about this is it's a big plane, and it does a 3x3x3. So you got three seats on the left, an aisle, three seats in the middle, an aisle, and then three seats on the right. So you can fit, you know, nine people per row. It's a big plane. It only has two engines, so it's not like the 747.
What? Really?
Yeah, it's only got two engines, but they're huge Rolls-Royce engines.
Right.
So it's a really big plane, two huge engines. And each seat has its own USB adapters and also AC plugs. So if you want to charge your phone.
Wow.
So here's the thing, though. I didn't realize this until I looked into it. Thank God I looked into it prior to leaving. But the AC outlets only provide one amp, which is good. Mm. It's good enough for a long flight if you want to charge your phone. It's kind of like trickle charging, really. I wanted to bring my new Nintendo Switch. That's the new handheld console that Nintendo came out with. I bought the Switch strictly for this flight because I knew it's a 12-hour flight. I wanted to play the Switch. And I realized, oh, my God, the Switch only lasts about 4 hours battery time if you're playing one of the bigger games. So I'm like, well, 4 hours, I'm going to need three charges, you know, to get through a one flight.
Yeah.
You know, so I thought, okay, I'll just plug it in.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, one
That's
amp.
What I was thinking. Couldn't it continue? No.
Nope. Because it's only one amp charge and the Switch takes more amperage than that. So I actually had to go out and buy a battery pack, a really nice battery pack, 2,500 milliamp hours, but it does 2.5 amps on three different ports. So I use that to keep the Switch, you know,
alive.
Chugging along.
Yeah.
Through the whole flight.
Did it last the whole flight?
It did. It absolutely. Well, I didn't play it the whole flight, but when I did play it, it lasted the whole flight, and no issues there. But I do like that every seat in the Dreamliner has its own LCD screen, and it has free entertainment. So you can watch movies, you can listen to audio, you can watch TV, you can look at the map, you can...
So you have your own... It's not like the old days where everybody, you know, just kind of had to focus on a screen in the front of the
absolutely not
seating. Now you get your own screen.
You watch your
much
own,
better.
Yeah, you get your own entertainment, which is nice. Misa, she used it. She watched a couple shows. I don't think she watched a movie, but it's a really nice flight. And if you ever get a chance to go on the Dreamliner, it's nice. Now it's not Emirates. Nice.
Oh yeah, well Emirates is like the isn't that the one you can lay down and they'll bring you a hot towel and all that
Emirates
stuff?
Emirates you get your own apartment. Like seriously, you do. You get your own apartment. There's in the first class.
It's pretty amazing.
In first class there's literally an apartment. I mean, it's a full shut door and you get your own space.
That's kind of cool.
That's kind of cool. That's really cool. But the United flight is good. And we had a lot of fun in Japan. I'm just glad to be back, glad to be back to normal and stuff. So,
I'm thinking for anybody that is planning a trip, like somebody listening is saying, you know, Madge, let's go to Japan, right?
Madge,
the only name I can think of. What are some things they need to think about when it comes to their technology? I mean, laptops, obviously, it's a different power source over there.
Japan is actually really similar to America. So America runs off of 120, 110, 120. Japan runs off of 100, 110.
Okay.
So it's like it's a between 110, 120 for America, between 100 and 110. So the plugs are a little bit different, not much. A standard two-prong plug will work in Japan.
But most laptops have the three though.
The three prong plug will not work. You'd have to get an adapter for that. But if you have a two prong, most of that will work. The only thing is if you buy something, or you move to Japan and you bring your US television that has a two prong and you plug it in, you're going to decrease the life of your, United States appliances over there, laptops, TVs, because you're running it on 100 to 110 volts versus 110 to 120 volts. So you're not giving it the juice that it needs, but for a short-term purposes, it's totally fine.
Well, I've also heard though, some people have said monitors, stuff like that, the magnetic pull of the earth is going to be different. So it's going to affect some technology over there. And I don't know if that's still the case. I'm not sure what you mean by that. It's just that it affects your monitors differently. Now, that might have only applied to CRTs. I don't know.
You're not visiting, Middle Earth. I mean, it's still a part of the Earth, and it's relatively close to the latitude of San Francisco, so I don't know how the magnetic field would change.
Hobbits,
but
please fix this.
Yeah, I know, right? I mean, I don't know about that whole shenanigans, there are definitely things they take care of. Like, for instance, like I said, if you're going to visit Europe, you're going to need to get power converters in terms of the plugs, because the plugs over there are completely different. They're not expensive to get. You can get them pretty much anywhere. Amazon, Best Buy, things like Target, I would recommend a power brick like I got, the little battery that you can take with you to charge your phones. I would definitely recommend one of those. Another thing you really want to just make sure you understand is make sure your carry-ons are going to fit. You don't bring something that's too big.
Yeah.
And just make sure you can, get it on the plane.
Did you take your laptop on the plane with you?
I took a tablet. You took a tablet.
Did they make you turn it on and do all that stuff?
No. I have pre-check. But even then, they don't make you turn that kind of stuff on anymore. You just have to put it into a separate bin unless you have pre-check. Pre-check, they already know who I am. They're just like, yeah, whatever, you're fine.
Right.
I still have to go through, but they don't really scrutinize things as much when you have pre-check. That's another thing too. Pre-check is worth it. If you're going to travel, pay the $95 for 5 years. It's good for 5 years.
Cool.
For 5 years.
Well, you travel a lot too.
I do for business. Yeah. But it's totally worth it. You go to go through the faster line. When I go to Denver International Airport, they have a huge security line. Normal security is about 30 minutes. I'm literally through the pre-check line within 3 minutes.
Nice.
From start to finish, I'm through security in 3 minutes.
Now, how was climate over there?
It's very similar to San Francisco.
Oh, so you were still dealing with it. Not like, I don't know if you heard about this, you know, while most of the nation here was dealing with this incredible frost, freeze, you know, deep freeze this past winter, Australia, you know, it's 117 degrees, you know, because it's different. It's summer over there.
Yeah, exactly. That's what's really crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very, very strange stuff. Did you see anything there that maybe we might be seeing here in the States when it comes to technology or electronics? Did you see anything that looked kind of, that's cool?
The thing about Japan used to be the front runner in technology. I mean, they really have since like the 70s and 80s and stuff like that. But honestly, now, no. It's pretty much, Japan has kind of fallen behind.
Right.
They don't have the cutting edge technology, in my opinion, that they used to have. I didn't really see anything that really caught my eye.
You know, it's interesting. I'm still mad. I know you have the Switch and you're happy with it.
Oh, I love the Switch.
Right. It's pretty cool. Now, is it just for games? I mean, can you do other stuff with it?
For games. Here's the thing. I mean, I've pretty much owned every single gaming system known to man. Starting from the original Nintendo and then going on to Sony and Xbox and all that stuff. My Xbox One, it literally is sitting in a box behind me. I just don't use it anymore. I don't have any use. I love the Switch because it is a portable gaming system. So it is handheld, but it has a dock. So when you come home, you just put it in the dock and instantly it's on your screen and you're ready to play.
Nice.
You know, on your TV. When you're ready to go, you could be in the middle of a game, walk over, pick up the Switch off the dock, and you're right back in your game, ready to go to play.
Nice.
And I like it that you get quality games and a lot more family-oriented games than you would on like PlayStation or Xbox. There's a lot more family-oriented games. I love the new Zelda. I really do love the new Mario Odyssey. I'm also playing a new game that they came out with called Splatoon 2,
which is kind of like a
first person shooter, but you're not killing anybody. You're basically covering them with paint, and if you get covered in paint, you quote unquote die, but you don't die. You just have to respawn and you go back out. But the whole object is you have this big map that you're playing on, like a big playground or something like that. And your object is just to cover all of the ground with paint. And the team that has the most ground covered in paint wins. So it's very family oriented. There is an ESRB tag for violence, but it's cartoon violence. It's a really, really interesting game. You could probably play it, you know, if you got a 6-year-old kid or whatever, I'd say, you know, that's the kind of game you can play. And they can play a first-person shooter without having to deal with all the violence and bloodshed that are found in games today.
Right.
But the Nintendo Switch, I really honestly think, and so do a lot of experts I've been reading about, this is shaping up to be one of the best consoles ever made. And I'm talking about PlayStation, Xbox, all that. They had a massive failure last year or two, 3 years ago when they came out with the Wii U.
Yeah.
You know, they had a massive success with the Wii. But then the Wii U came out and it was just a failure. So this was their last shot. And they came out with a console that is amazing, in my opinion.
Nice. Nice. I like that. I wanted to tell you about this one because you have a cat.
Okay.
Have you done any of the tablet games for your cat? People might think, what?
Tablet? What?
A friend of mine got a cat and was telling me that, you know, she has a tablet. The cat kept looking at the tablet. She just thought, hey, I wonder if there's anything for cats to play. Well, it turns out there's all kinds of apps for your cats to play on your tablet.
I've seen this. I've seen stuff like
that. Now, one of them that she recommended, and if you have a cat, you might try this if you have a tablet, Catch the Mouse. And
I've tried something similar to that, yeah.
Well, I was kind of surprised that a cat... See, because I had a dog. My dog would never watch TV. It just... You try and get it to watch TV, play bright colors, you know, cartoons. No, it didn't care. Not focusing.
My cats are like that. My cats are like, I'm lucky to get them to look at me.
Right. Well, this Catch the Mouse game, I think you can get it for a buck. There's some other ones out there too. So if you have a cat, you know, it's something you might want to check out. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But
some cats are more interactive than others. My cats, the only time they want to interact with me is if I have treats.
Well, there you go. I think that's the way most relationships work.
What do you have for me?
Oh, boy. So, you know, you missed CES, the Consumer Electronics Show that took place back in June, first couple of weeks in
June.
January, I'm sorry, in January.
I was going to say, what?
I don't know what month I'm in. There was a lot of stuff. I think the biggest one, though, and I want to mention this to people, is the Samsung Wall.
Yes, I heard about that.
146-inch screen, the modular wall that can be combined. Apparently, LG has got one, too. We're going to talk to a guy a little later on in the show today that is going to tell us a little bit about some of the tech that was there. But he's got some other stuff he wants to share with us as well. But either way, I guess the show was very successful. Just a great number. And hopefully, in the upcoming weeks, we'll be able to find out some of the cool stuff that was shown there.
Yeah.
That was one. Now, you came across a Kickstarter that I thought was pretty cool, because one of the big things, not only at CES, but the big things this holiday season has been home automation or home assistance.
Sure.
And that's been enormous. But the question you get here, you hear quite a bit is it recording everything I do? Well, your answer is probably yes. All right. That's probably the case.
I have heard definitely stories about that, where people, they say they have like an Alexa or they have a Google Home. And like one example is a buddy of mine, they had to recently put their dog down because he was getting old and, or actually had cancer or something like that. And they had never, they hadn't even gone online to look at anything or touch anything with the internet. And yet when he went on Facebook, all of a sudden he was starting to see ads for German Shepherds.
Yeah. Yeah. Same here. Of like, course, you know, weird. I'm having to buy a new car.
Are you seeing ads for cars now all of a sudden?
Well, you bet. You bet. And this is before I started looking for a new car.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I'm in the kitchen and I'm standing around this thing.
When are people going to finally admit to it that they're listening to us?
Exactly. You know, it's kind of a scary thing, you know. But one of the other things, though, that can be even more scary is, you know, they say if they're doing anything like this, it's to help you. But you want to protect yourself from anybody that's going to hack into your system.
Sure.
Because if they hack in, they're going to be privy to this kind of information.
Exactly. And the thing is you probably heard the term IoT or Internet of Things. That is what we are now with these Google Homes and the Amazon Alexas or Echoes, with the camera systems, the Nest cameras, the Nest thermostats, the Honeywell smart thermostats, all these devices. That's called the Internet of Things because they're all internet connected. Even your refrigerator or your TVs.
Your microwaves now.
Well, yeah, I was going to say microwaves, but I didn't actually know if they did. But yeah sure. they're all connected to the internet. And so that gives hackers more and more opportunities to get into your systems and to do things with your systems. So there's a company called Akita.
That's and it's, A-K-I-T-A?
Yeah, exactly. Just like the dog, Akita. They came out with this Kickstarter project, and it's an instant privacy for smart homes. So this little device, it looks kind of like an Amazon Echo cut in half.
On its side.
At an angle.
Reminds me of that scene at the end of Planet of the Apes. You blew it up!
Yeah. So, yeah, it looks a little weird, but it's interesting. So basically, what this does is it monitors your home network for any type of weird, unusual activity.
Like intrusion type activity?
Intrusion attempts, yeah. Intrusion attempts.
Port sniffing, the whole bit.
Port sniffing, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, so if it finds something that happens, it'll shut your internet down completely. And it will then alert you on the smartphone app saying, hey, you've just been attacked or you've been hacked. Now, I really honestly could have used that a couple weeks ago or about a month ago now. I was actually a victim of a DDoS. A distributed denial of service attack. I had a static IP, so my IP never changes. And I was finding that for some reason, my internet would just cut out every so often, and I could not figure it out. But then I started talking to a guy that worked for CenturyLink, a friend of mine, and he was telling me, he's like, dude, you're getting hammered with attempts, intrusion attempts. And I'm like, why? What did I do? Who did I make mad? You know? And so I could have used Akita. Akita would have told me, hey, you're getting attacked.
Right.
And so, but anyway, this is a really cool Kickstarter project. If you go to Kickstarter, just type in Akita. You can find out about this. It comes in a couple different colors, it looks like. It looks like it costs about $79 for the early bird.
Right.
And it's going to be estimated delivery of April of this year, 2018. But you can also pledge more and you can get like a second one or a third one or whatever. but it protects your home. It scans, it blocks, it notifies you. So that's a pretty cool product.
It is a good one. I like that. Well, we have to take a quick break. We come back with more of Tech Talk Radio. We'll talk a little more about, what's going on with the Internet of Things. We'll talk about a new device for the photographer with our buddy Andy Markin, and we'll continue with more of Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Justin Lemmy. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/TechTalkers or techtalkradio.com.
We'll be right back.
And now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
I had to explain iTunes to my mom on the phone recently, and that may be the last phone call we ever have together. She wanted iTunes. I said, it's easy. Just go online, find iTunes, download it, create a username and a password, and you have iTunes. And she said, are there spaces in that? She asked if there were spaces in a sentence I said out loud to her, because she was typing it all into the browser bar as I spoke. Just www. Go online, find iTunes, download it, create a username and a password, and was going to hit .com and just fling all of that into the internet. Just, there's all the information. Bring me iTunes by tomorrow. And she hangs a lantern on her door. At one point she asked the question, is there internet on iTunes? Well, I'm going to hang up now, Mom. I'll call you on your birthday. I said, no, there's not internet on iTunes. And she said, so should I cancel my internet? That's actually the best idea you've ever had. You should cancel your internet, then throw your computer out of a window and beat it with a stick. I would rather pay a band to play for my mom every night of her life than to explain iTunes to this woman one more time.
This is Alice Cooper, the original Technotard, and you're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
And I'm Justin Lemmy.
Don't forget, you can find us on the web at techtalkradio.com.
Also Facebook, facebook.com/techtalkers.
And Twitter, of course, at Tech Talk Radio. You know, always a thrill to talk to Andy Markin. We have known Andy, I think, longer than anybody that's been a guest on the show, and always comes to us with some great knowledge. Also, Andy spent some time at CES this year, so maybe we can find out a little bit about that. But he's got a really cool product we wanted to talk about. Andy, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Andy.
It is so good to be back, both of you. God. I missed you. I've gone through withdrawals.
We know that's not true. Andy, tell us a little bit about this company, OWC. They make products geared strictly at the mobile enthusiast?
OWC started 30 years ago. I'll give you a very brief background. Started by Larry O'Connor at the brilliant age of 14.
Wow.
Working on his mother's kitchen table. Since then, he's grown the company to probably about 250 people, about $200 million, with offices down in Austin, Texas, which he just moved his engineering group down there. The headquarters is in Woodstock, Illinois. They make a broad range of storage and add-on, add-in products for the Mac market, and now we're expanding more into the PC arena as well, thanks largely to the new interface Thunderbolt 3 and USB-C.
Now, the storage market has, let's face it, it's changed so dramatically in the last 5-6 years.
The capacities are going up, the prices are coming down. For a consumer, it's really great. Mm-hmm. And the quality is a lot better, too. And right now, we're in a little bit of a bubble when it comes to SSD products because there's a shortage. So the prices are still right, but in 6 months I would bet that the flash memory would come down to be even more reasonable for the consumer.
That would be nice because
I would want you to put off buying something right now.
Well, of course, but I mean, it would be nice because for many of us that decide our laptops could be made faster with the technology they haven't included in them with SSDs. Some manufacturers, of course, are going that way. And replacing them with an SSD, we usually lose some storage when it comes to switching to SSD when it comes to price. That would be great if we saw the pricing come down even more. But I mean, considering where we are, though, with that, and what we have available in storage outside of the PC or the portable, then we have so many different options. And this one is a great option, not only for this new USB-C travel dock, but for them to take it on the road and be able to, you know, shoot photos and never have to worry about filling up that SD card.
Yes, because you want to, you know, you want to shoot a lot of stuff. And I've seen some of the photos that you shoot, which are really cool.
Thanks.
But, you know, you want to be able to move them over to your desktop. Frankly, you want to back that up as quickly as possible.
Of course.
You want to protect that content. And as you said, throwing it on an SSD in your laptop is just an ideal way to do it, because it's a very reliable, power-conservative, rugged way to do it. If you've had a hard drive on your system and you think, well, you know, I really want to save power and I want a little lighter, put an SSD in it, and it's like a brand new system.
Every drive in our studio and in our office is SSD technology. It's faster, and yeah, it has been more reliable. Tell us about this new travel dock that they have put out. This has more features. It's not just you plug in from your laptop and back off, you know, data to it. This is an actual, honest to goodness, a dock, not a hub, an actual dock.
Yes, it is. It's, you know, you have two USB ports on it, you know, standard. It's the new USB 3.1, which is really very fast. You have the SD card reader, and then you have the HDMI port as well, and I'll come back to that in a little bit. But the big difference in this and the majority of the products, everything I've seen, is it is an honest-to-goodness dock. It has a power port, so that when you're out in the field, you know, you can use all of the ports you want. When you get back in, you don't have to disconnect it to plug in your power again. You can plug it into it, and you can still use it as a dock for everything you're doing. Mm-hmm. What's nice about that is that it'll support 4K displays, so that you can plug in through the HDMI port, you know, a 4K display, and look at your photos in a much bigger format, which
right,
I think is exceptional.
How about for video as well? Would you be able to view your videos then? Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, the USB, you know, 3.1 is fast enough to handle 4K video streaming flawlessly. It'll look beautiful. You won't miss a pixel. You won't miss a frame at all.
Now, the cool thing about these, Andy, is these are going to market pretty, I don't want to say inexpensively, but they are certainly priced very reasonably.
Exceptionally. And Larry made the point while we were at CES that the hubs that are out there are in the $80 range.
Right.
And he made a commitment that he was going to bring it in closer to very reasonable for the people, and he did it at $50.
Yeah, I'm looking at pictures of this dock, you know, online, and it's really nice. It's not super big. I mean, it fits. It looks like, you know, it connects right to the side of the back, and it's just sleek in its design. And you're right, the price, you know, the price point, it's really good.
Andy, I know that you were at the Consumer Electronics Show, CES 2018. Can you tell us a little bit about CES?
CES was a zoo.
What were some of the cool things you saw there?
Well, it was a fantastic show. I mean, first of all, second day, I think it was, the power went out in the central hall, which brought everything to a halt. Then about then, the robo pole dancers came on, which was...
Only
in Las Vegas would you do that.
Of course.
A friend of mine said, well, you know, it's really a cesspool.
Yeah.
CES pool. I said, that is so bad, I don't want to.
Well, it's, you know, it's in Vegas. I can't imagine being on the show floor and the power going out, and any of the companies, you know, that were out there, like APC, you know, all of the power of all of their backup devices going off at the same time. That just had to be a blast.
Oh, it was. I mean, you had spots of light around on the show floor and in the central hall. South hall wasn't affected. But, I mean, they had, the event literally has to take over all of Las Vegas, because, you know, it's not just a consumer electronics show, if you will. There was a auto show, mm-hmm. which is next to, you know, Detroit's show, which is going on right now as far as size and complexity. There was even a media and entertainment show talking about, you know, the new content that's going on. Drone show, VR event,
yeah,
home equipment show.
What do you think was kind of more prevalent? Obviously, we could get a lot of talk about VR, and you know, I just wonder how far can that go. We get that, but I'm also wondering if, you know, we get down to the home automation, which kind of really seemed to rule the roost.
Well, they had there were two main players, obviously, there, both Amazon and Google. One, you holler at the machine, "Hey, Google." The other one, you say, "Ari, will you, you know, take care of this for me," type of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, and the speakers are one thing. I think the first thing, if I were to, you know, and I have put it in, I'd put in, you know, a thermostat. Obviously, I, you know, because I want to control my energy costs, and I still want to be comfortable, and
yeah.
that allows you to do it very efficiently.
Yeah, I have one of those, the Honeywell.
You have the Honeywell one, right?
Yeah.
I've got the Nest, which it's been sitting in the box. I haven't installed it for about 6 months.
Justin, could you go over and show him how to install it?
Yeah.
Justin knows I'm a complete imbecile when it comes to hooking things up. I'll blow myself up.
Yeah.
That's why.
I wouldn't put that past
you. Yeah. Well, Andy, I got to tell you, as always, it's great to talk to you. If our listeners want to find out more about OWC, they want to, you know, get this travel doc. I know we're going to take a test drive with it as well. What is the best way for them to do that?
Go to maxsales.com. If you want to look for a dealer in your area, go to owcdigital.com. But you can get it direct from the company at maxsales.com.
Great deal.
And great way to, if you're, while you're there, roam around and see how you can upgrade your SSDs to SSD in your notebook.
So. There you go. I like that. Well, listen, Andy, as always, great to talk to you. We'd love to talk to you more often. Again, you come with so much knowledge of some of this stuff. And again, your columns are great. And I think we need to start maybe sharing some of those columns on our website with our listeners because, again, some really awesome information. So thanks once again for coming on Tech Talk Radio.
Like to do that and look forward to talking to everybody again.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with more of Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Justin Lemme.
Now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Internet, my friend. How can I help you?
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Justin Lemme.
I'm Andy Taylor. I'm going to say again, it's so good to have you back. We missed you. Now, before you left, you had told me to get Amazon.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was really holding back. And I just thought the idea...
Amazon Prime.
And the idea of spending, you know, $99 for something with channels and everything else, I just thought, gosh, I don't want to spend any more money. I've got Hulu, Netflix.
Yeah.
Which I hardly watch. Hulu.
Yeah. I don't watch Netflix hardly at all either.
And then I got, then of course, cable. And I'm paying for cable. Mm-hmm. The other day I went into the cable company because I was thinking, you know, my bill's it's at $190 again.
Oh.
$190 bucks a month. And I don't have any of the subscription channels, be it I do have better internet, but I still don't have better internet than you.
That's true. I have the gigabit.
You know, I think they upped me recently to 150. And I just thought, well, 150 megabit.
That's still darn good.
Yeah, I just need I would like a faster upload speed.
Sure.
My upload is still clocked, I think, at 6 megabits per second. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'd like to have, what are you getting? What's your upload?
You don't want to know.
No, come on, tell me.
It's about 950 megabits.
See, that's what I would like.
Seriously. It's a gig speed. It's gig up, gig down.
See, that's what I want. So, you know, and I go in and she says, well, we could drop you to 170 a month. But, and then we give you all the movie channels. But
you don't get Lifetime.
or Hallmark.
I did not say that. But they said 170 a month, and you would get all the movie channels. You know, and that's for a two-year contract.
They throw those movie channels in there like people actually want them. Like, that's their way of keeping you on. They're like, well, we'll give you free movie channels.
Yeah, and I'm like, no. I said, I watch four channels. That's it. Yeah. And now I'm on. And now, I got to tell you, the only reason I keep cable, the only reason is so I can watch ID Channel, Hallmark,
and
of course, the local news channel. That's it.
And Lifetime.
Okay, Lifetime once. I haven't been watching that one as much.
Oh, okay.
But that's the only reason. So it's kind of like...
It's really expensive to be spending that much money each month just to watch Hallmark.
I know. And I'm thinking, now I got to tell you, Amazon, if you have been on the fence about Amazon Prime, if you've been thinking, I don't really want to get it, all right? Forget
get it.
It. Get it.
Get it.
Get it, get it, get it, get it, get it. Justin has been right on so many things lately. You were right on Bitcoin, to get involved, and I did, and I made some money. You were right on Amazon Prime because I have ended up, that's all I watch.
You know, you mentioned to me last night, you said you were watching that show, Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Exactly.
And you know what? You didn't watch it on Amazon.
Yeah, I did.
I couldn't find it on Amazon. Okay, I found it on HBO.
Now, Amazon Prime has all of the seasons 1 through 8 of Curb Your Enthusiasm on there.
I couldn't find it last
Yeah,
night.
They've got it.
That's cool.
Here's the thing. I never watched the show, even when I had HBO.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was. It didn't appeal to me. And one day I was just sitting there, and we have watched the other show on Amazon called The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, which is a riot. Okay. And it won, the Grammys? Not the Grammys. It won the Emmys.
The Golden Globes.
Yeah,
Golden
I don't know which one award show it is. And, I fell in love with the show. First episode grabbed me. Loved the characters. Loved the comedy. Yep. So then we were thinking, what else do we watch? So I'm going through the channels, and I find Curb, and I said, let's see this show. I know it's the guy who created Seinfeld.
Yeah, if anybody doesn't know, Curb Your Enthusiasm is a show by Larry David. Larry David is the creator of Seinfeld, and it's basically the same premise as Seinfeld. It's just a show about nothing. It's a show about his life, but it's the same premise as Seinfeld, except it's not a sitcom. It's more kind of like a behind-the-scenes, just his life kind of thing.
And he's really the character of George on Seinfeld.
Yeah, he really is.
You notice it. You're watching it. You say, oh.
Yeah. And by the way, I did watch season 7, the episode, I'm not sure it was like episode 5 or whatever last night, the reunion episode of Seinfeld, where he's basically trying to get the cast back together to do a reunion.
So he can get back with his wife.
So he can get back with his wife. Yeah, because his ex-wife. But anyway, but it was a good episode. I was laughing.
It was awesome. And I didn't know this. That's the only Seinfeld reunion we'll probably ever get.
Yeah, because... Exactly. They're kind of gone on their own ways. But I just want to say, too, about Amazon Prime, even if you don't like Curb Your Enthusiasm or the Marvelous Ms. Maisel, the biggest show on Amazon,
and it
is a Amazon Prime original, which means you can't get it anywhere else.
What?
Is The Grand Tour.
See, I haven't watched that yet. Would I like that?
Okay. Did you like Top Gear?
Yeah, I kind of liked
it. It is Top Gear 2.0. Okay, so the guys from Top Gear, Jeremy Clarkson, James May, Richard Hammond, they got fired from BBC's Top Gear because I think Jeremy Clarkson punched a producer or something.
I can see him doing that.
Yeah, so anyway, they got fired. Well, Amazon hired them and said, look, guys, we want you to bring Top Gear to Amazon. But they can't call it Top Gear because the BBC owns that name.
Right.
So they came up with a program called The Grand Tour. So what this is they go from city to city all over the world every episode, and they got this giant, military tent, and that's where they set up their studio inside this big giant tent, and it is Top Gear. They talk about cars, they talk about life, they do on some ridiculous challenges like they did in Top Gear, and it's fun and it's funny.
Isn't it like one of the most watched shows?
It is the most watched show on now. Yeah, they are the number one rated show on Amazon Prime.
I'm gonna take your advice. I'm gonna watch it.
Try it.
So I will watch it. I will watch it this weekend.
Yeah, there's two seasons on it.
So I ended up watching seasons 1 through 8 of Curb. And then went ahead and did the 7-day trial of HBO so I could catch up on season 9 because the show came back after, 6 years?
Yep.
And now season 10 is going to be coming sometime soon, sometime this year. So, again, that's a show to watch if you're a big Seinfeld fan. If you ever watch the show. And it's funny. The situation. Sometimes it's not appropriate because his thinking is just off,
Yeah.
But that's, it's dark humor. It's what makes it so much fun. So that is something to check out. But yeah, so thank you for the Amazon Prime recommendation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They are making a big change though. And we're quickly got to mention this.
Yeah, they are going to be, now if you've been doing the monthly subscription?
Yeah, so that was just something, they only released the monthly stuff. They started doing monthly just a few months ago. And that was to lure in more subscribers who basically, and according to one of their quotes, it was to lure in more customers, more subscribers from lower income families that couldn't maybe necessarily afford the $99 up front to get the whole year subscription. They offered it at $10.99 a month. Well, it brought in a ton of subscribers, and they realized quickly that they just can't support having this for $10.99. So they're upping it to $12.99 a month for monthly subscribers. And I think also students are paying about $2 more a month. If you do have the $99 yearly subscription, that is not going up in price.
That's not going to go up next year. We're going to see it go to $156. Because that's what they were talking about. If you, you know, change the value of it, that's what would be what it was worth. And then
that's what it works out to be on monthly. $12.99 a month works out to the $156
now, for those,
or something.
For those wondering, though, okay, well, I don't want to watch all this video. Well, here's the deal. With Amazon Prime, you also get shipping. Correct, and you get other benefits.
You get the unlimited 2-day free shipping in select cities. You also have the 1-day shipping and same day shipping.
Right,
so that's just a big part of it. You also get music. What else do you get?
You get quite a bit with that with the Amazon, and then if you have Fire Stick, you can do some stuff there. Then people have said, "Well, I want to try it out first." Well, you can do a free trial.
Yeah,
I believe you can do a 30-day free trial. If you go get yourself an Amazon Fire Stick, which are really inexpensive, again, something else you recommended that we went with, and we're very happy with that. You've got that trial there, so you can check it out.
Yeah,
and
I think the Fire Stick actually comes with a trial right away.
Right, yeah, exactly. So there's lots of choices when it comes to entertainment. The world of music, though, that is constantly evolving as well. You get new music, mm-hmm. new artists.
New genres.
One of my favorites growing up, Dr. Demento.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and Dr. Demento.
Where Weird Al got his start.
Absolutely. So many got their start. Well, they're John Cafiero and Dr. Demento have gotten together, and they've put together a brand new CD of a Dr. Demento show with all of the music that we remember from his show, covered by artists in the punk, rock and roll, genre of music.
Okay.
And it's fun. You think of not only that, but also William Shatner is doing a track. Adam West, his last recording, is on here as well. And it's a brand new CD, and standing by with us on the line, John Cafiero, a project producer. And so good to talk to him, Dr. Demento, on a brand new CD that is out, an album CD. Just download Dr. Demento Covered in Punk. Guys, thanks for coming on the show.
Glad to be here, Andy.
Thanks for having us, Andy. It's great to be here.
Now, tell us a little, John, about this project. How did this kind of come all together?
It's a project that I felt really passionate about. It was a concept that I came up with, and I had pitched to the doctor, and he liked the idea. Basically, I feel that there's a kinship between punk rock and novelty music. Both of them, you know, for example, punk rock at its core, it was not only about being loud to the point, but more or less just be about being yourself. And despite whatever the populace or the mainstream might have dictated at the time. And novelty music, I think, was very same. And both of them also had a sense of humor. I've been ingrained in the punk rock community for some time, and I thought it would be a lot of fun to hear a lot of classic and contemporary punk bands doing covers of the novelty songs that have been made famous on the airwaves of the Dr. Demento shows over the past 4 decades, and mix it up a little bit with a reverse on the concept with some demented versions of some punk classics, and put it all together, and you've got Dr. Demento covered in punk.
Now, did you go to a lot of these bands, like, say, the Misfits and some of the other ones, and say, hey, have you ever heard of Dr. Demento? Did you hear the show? I'm pretty sure all of them at some point had listened to Dr. D?
Absolutely. You know, there were a handful of bands, particularly the ones that are out of the country, who might not have been completely familiar with Dr. Demento, but there was always some trace of something that they were familiar with that brought them to it. But 9 out of 10 people were fans of Dr. Demento and understood the concept and thought it was a great idea and immediately wanted in.
I got to tell you, Dr. Demento, I do mornings at a station here just outside of Tucson in a small, there's a retirement community called Green Valley. And our afternoon guy, him and I were talking, and we were talking about influences. And I said, you know, I think I had two influences on my life growing up in radio. I had this guy, Hull, who was in San Diego, and then Dr. Demento. I said, I would listen to Cammy T in my room in Orange County, and I just loved the music he played. And he told me, he said, I had a song that was on Dr. Demento. And I said, you're kidding me. And he says, no. He says, it's called The Cockroach That Ate Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah.
And I told him, I said, my God, that's like one of my favorite tunes. I mean, I would always listen for that one. He was in a band called Rose and the Arrangements. And of course, as you know, they came up with that tune. But I mean, what a thrill that was to be able to relive that. So I made it a point, knowing this guy does afternoons, to play that tune off your greatest hit CDs. The only place that I could find it. He had a cassette, but, you know, played it that way. So, I mean, you've changed the lives of so many people, Weird Al, Billy Mummy, and I mean, it's got to be kind of a cool thing to know that you influence many people, not only in comedy, but also in music.
Oh, it is very cool, and it's wonderful to rediscover that. And by the way, that song, The Cockroach That Ate Cincinnati, is featured on the new album, Dr. Demento Covered in Punk, performed by no less than The Misfits.
Oh, that's going to be awesome. The concept for this, Doctor, is it kind of like a radio show that's put together? I was looking at it, and the way it's kind of structured with the tunes and then your breaks, it almost feels like it's a radio show that I would be listening to.
Exactly. That was John's plan from the beginning, and that's the way it worked out.
John, how long did it take to put all of this project together?
From inception to completion, honestly, it was about 4 years. Now, I will say I wear a lot of hats and I juggle a lot of different things, so it wasn't as if it was every day steady for 4 years, but it really was from the time that I first conceived of and approached Dr. Demento about it to the time that it was pressed and released, 4 years. A lot of love, attention, and nurturing went into it.
You know, this is also, surprisingly, the kind of final appearance of Adam West, who did Batman. I think it's one of his final performances, correct?
Absolutely, yeah. We're thrilled and honored to have that. It's such a shame that he's not here to celebrate it with us, but we're really pleased to have one of his final performances on the record, and it's an incredible one at that.
Now, how will our listeners be able to pick this up? Is this something that they're going to find on Amazon? Is this iTunes? Can they go into, you know, Best Buy and maybe find this on the shelves?
I certainly hope so. It should be available everywhere where music is sold. Your local record store or some of the larger chains like Best Buy, and it's certainly available on Amazon and iTunes. Or if they can't find it, please just visit coveredinpunk.com, and they can order the CD, the vinyl version, as well as some other tie-in merchandising featuring some of the beautiful artwork that's featured inside of the packaging.
Dr. Demento, tell us, where can we find you today? Obviously on this, but on the air, are you doing stuff more? Did you kind of go more towards the internet? Are you still on broadcast?
Yes. Yeah, I'm at drdemento.com. I still do a new show every week. Comes online on Saturday, and you can hear it anytime at your pleasure. On demand, drdemento.com, drdemento.com.
The great service that the doctor has, because you can not only get his new show every week, but you can access literally the archives of nearly every show from the 70s onward, and it's an incredible treasure trove of material for people to dig into.
Dr. Demento, John, it's great to talk to you, and again, looking forward to this. Our listeners can get it now. It's available now.
Yes, it's available right now. It's over 2 hours of material. Everything that is on this record was newly created, never before released. All of these tracks were recorded specifically for the project, and I hope people really enjoy it. It's really my intention that a whole new generation discover the wonders of the Dr. Demento show, and I think this is a really unique way to present it.
Don't forget to stay demented.
It's Dr. Demento, Covered in Punk. We'll be back with more of Tech Talk Radio.
Now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Adrienne Barbeau. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio, and you're going to learn a lot.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Justin Lemmy.
I'm Andy Taylor. So I told you about my problem I had with my television.
Yes.
I buy this new TV, 4K, you know, UHD. It's supposed to be, you know, the great price, great television.
Mm-hmm.
I would expect that television to be able to work with 2.4 gigahertz as well as 5 gigahertz when it came to Wi-Fi, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can't do it. It only does 2.4 gigahertz, which kind of defeats the purpose of the 4K, because if I want to connect with the router that I went out and bought so I'd have really good connection over the previous model that I had, it would be great. Well, I can't do it. Turns out it's not supportive of 5 gigahertz. So I thought there's probably a couple of solutions. One of them being plugging in a 5 gigahertz stick into the television and doing it that way, right? Mm-hmm. Using an add-on network. The other I thought, and tell me if you think this might work. I bought myself a Linksys extender, and the extender works with 5 gigahertz range. And with that extender, I can plug it into the room where the TV is, then use a Cat5 cable that comes off of that, because there's a Ethernet port on there, and plug it to the Ethernet port of the TV and then use it that way.
You could do that.
And I'm wondering if it's going to give me enough bandwidth to be able to watch to watch movies in 4K.
You have to try it and see what happens.
All right.
Let us know.
Got a website of the week. This is called Nonogram Forever. And it's kind of a weird URL. It's nonogram.frvr.com.
It's kind of like a tile game. It's a little bit of mathematics. It's kind of like one of those brain teasers in a way.
Yeah.
You have to do a little bit of math. It's almost like Sudoku in a way, but yeah, it's pretty fun. It's pretty fun. I've been kind of messing around with it here.
Yeah. Well, we will be back next week with more of Tech Talk Radio. Feel free to hit up our website, techtalkradio.com. We have a contact page. Just go ahead and if you have a question for the show, feel free to put it in there.
Hit us up. Have a great week. We'll see you next week.